Sometimes in Scripture, the most profound statements are the shortest statements. Life-altering and life-changing statements can come in a very short form. Not long ago, I was reading in 2 Timothy, if you'll turn with me there, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, I want to look at one of those short statements. And what struck me was, I was reading this portion of Scripture, and what struck me was the fact that Paul is telling Timothy to do something that you would think is obvious. 2 Timothy 2:8. You would think, well, everybody knows this. This is something that we always do. Why would you have to tell somebody to remember Jesus Christ? And I got to thinking about that. Why spend a portion of Scripture telling someone to do something that you would think that they would already be doing? It's very profound if you think about it. Remember Jesus Christ. Three words. That's what I want us to consider this morning. When we get up each day and we go about our activities, before we say something, do we remember Jesus Christ? Before we make a particular choice about a matter, do we remember Jesus Christ? Remembering Jesus Christ is not just something that we do around the Lord's table, and I'm glad that we've just been able to do that. That is a great privilege and a great memorial each first day of the week. But remembering Jesus Christ is not just something that is done at the Lord's table. Before we think, do we remember Jesus Christ? Before we act, before we make friends, before we accept a particular body of information, do we remember Jesus Christ? When somebody is hurting us in some way and we're trying to decide how to respond, do we remember Jesus Christ? I believe sometimes the most profound statements can be the most simple statements. And so this morning I want us to consider Paul's command to remember Jesus Christ. I don't believe that this is the remember of you are getting old and forgetful. That's happening to me a lot lately as I get older. I don't believe that's the case here. Paul describes Timothy as a youth. I don't believe Timothy's an old man who's getting old and forgetful. Lately, I'll place something down, and just a few minutes later, I can't find where I put it. As we're getting older, we get more forgetful, and that comes up, but I don't believe that's what's going on here. It's not a matter of getting old and forgetful. This is the remember of focusing on what is important in life. Paul commanded Timothy, just a little short statement. He knows that Timothy is preaching in Ephesus. He knows at this time that he's getting down toward the end of his life, and he's going to have to turn the reins over to Timothy. The time of my departure has come. And Timothy's going to have a lot of obligations as a young Christian. Remember Jesus Christ. That's actually very profound. And it's a good reminder this morning, because if you stop and think about it, if we find ourselves saying and doing something that's not quite right, it's probably because we are not thinking about Jesus Christ at the moment. When we go to school, and when we go to work, and when we're with our neighbors, and when we're with our family members, and we're saying things and doing things and deciding on things, is Jesus Christ at the forefront of those decisions? I want to talk a little bit this morning about the importance of remembering Jesus Christ. And we're going to go through his life and look at some things this morning that we need to remember. Paul knew that there would be conflicting voices. There's always people saying different kinds of things. It's always been that way. And today, regardless of where you get your information, whether it's on your phone, or whether it's on your computer, or whether it's on the TV, or on the radio, or wherever you get your information, there's always conflicting voices. There are always those who are saying things that are not according to what Jesus would say. We have to remember Jesus Christ and what He would say. There's always conflicting voices that are going to take us away from the words of Christ. That happened in the first century. We've been going through in the college class a survey of the New Testament recently, and we were talking about 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John this morning, and John is warning those brethren about deceivers and the Antichrist and people who are coming and saying things about Jesus they shouldn't say. And from the first century until today, there's always been conflicting voices. And we begin to listen to, well, I'm going to listen to what my friends are saying and what culture is saying and my co-workers. No, remember Jesus Christ. See, it's important. And there are distracting activities. We get distracted by the things of this world. And we start going down these roads, whether it's a hobby or something at work or school or something of this life, and we find ourselves, whoa, wait a minute. I'm now engaged in something that Jesus wouldn't want me doing. There's distracting activities in the world today. We've got to stop and just say, wait a minute, remember Jesus Christ. Is this something that He would want me to be doing? I know it's popular in culture. I know that it's all my friends are doing it, but is this something Jesus would want me doing? And then in ourselves, we have different desires. Things that we like, things that we wish, and things that we want. And often they are opposed to what Jesus would want us to have. What I think and what I feel. What I feel in my heart, you see. And often that's not what Jesus would want us to think or feel. And it's just profound. Remember Jesus Christ. And Paul knew that there would be changing times ahead. Grievous days are going to come, chapter 3, verse 1. There's always changing times and changing cultures, and we're seeing even in our culture today what was once what we called a Christian nation. We're moving farther and farther away from that every decade that goes by, and we're finding that we're living in a culture today that is openly embracing things that Jesus would have openly condemned. And so during the changing times that we live in the 21st century, we need to remember Jesus Christ. And so this morning I want us to take us through from beginning to end in a period of time lasting about 33 years. And let's remind ourselves of some things that we would do well to remember. We need to remember that before Jesus ever came into this life, He was pre-existent. Now you stop and think about that. None of us here in this room, none of us in Clarksville, none of us that has ever lived or will live, experiences that. When you're born, that's the beginning of your existence. But when Jesus was born, that was not the beginning of His existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, verse 1. So when you read Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before anything ever existed, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were there in a pre-existent state. That is amazing. Because none of us has ever experienced anything like that. We have a beginning point. Jesus doesn't have a beginning point. Now, if you want to get a headache, you go home and think about eternity going that direction, backward. That'll give you a headache. It gives me a headache. There is no starting point to God. That's just hard to fathom. If we stopped to remember that, maybe more people would come to Jesus Christ. They've got a very small view of Jesus today. Oh, he's just a cool guy that walked around in sandals in the first century and had some cool stuff to say. We're talking about a being who has no beginning. He said to the Jews in John 8, before Abraham was, I am. And notice he didn't say, before Abraham was, I was. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He's in this present eternal state. There is no beginning, middle, or end to Jesus. We would do well to remember the eternal nature of who this is who commands our life. And hopefully that would impress us to the point that we would want to obey him even this morning and continue obeying him. In the beginning was the Word. Before time began, he was already there. And then they created time and they created space and they created beginning points. But they were there before that. And that's impressive. We would do well to remember the birth of Jesus and the incarnation. Incarnation means in the flesh. So in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus did not cease to be deity or God when he became human. And so now we have something that we would do well to remember, and that is that Jesus, as a baby boy and growing through life and as an adult, he is God with us. Emmanuel, Matthew 1:21. Not just another Palestinian Jew walking around giving us his opinion about religious things. This is God speaking. So when Philip says, show us the Father, Jesus said, I've already shown you the Father. And we would do well to remember that. In today's world, when you talk with people about Jesus, they say, oh yeah, he was kind of a cool guy, you know. And every once in a while, we go through these traditions or these popularity types of cultural things. We went through the what would Jesus do, the WWJD. And people kind of get on board with some religious things from time to time. We need to be reminded of the greatness of Jesus Christ. His pre-existence, his eternal state. And then when he became man, he did not cease to be God. He was born of a woman, Galatians 4:4. But he left the grandeur and the glory of heaven, 2 Corinthians 8:9. He was rich of those things in heaven, and he became poor to walk on this earth. We just sang about that, the Lamb of God. To be God with us. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And we'll move on. We have four children, and those of you here this morning who are parents and you've had children, has this ever happened when you were about to give birth, whether at the house or somewhere, all of a sudden there was a multitude of angels singing? Did you ever have that when you're about to give birth, ladies? If Sherry goes into the hospital and I'm going to go in there with her, we're going to have our first child, and I go in there with the doctor, and all of a sudden some angels break out. And you ever have that happen? Of course not. But when Jesus is born, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men in whom he is well pleased. This is a separate lesson that I was thinking about in preparation for this one. But if you go through the Gospels, you're going to find some extraordinary things taking place that don't happen with anybody else. And this is one of those types of things. And it's a message being sent to mankind that this is a different birth. People are born all the time, but this is a different one. And so you have this angel announcement, and then you have this, I would have liked to have heard that. I like to hear singing. I would have liked to have heard that angelic host praising God. I bet that was nice. We would do well to remember that when Jesus came into this world, it was God in the flesh. We would do well to remember His youth. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And our young people here this morning would do well to remember the youth of Jesus and how obedient He was to His Heavenly Father and how spiritually minded He was. At age 12, His parents are looking for Him and He's in the temple and they wonder why He's there. And He Himself out of His own mouth says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, "How is it that you sought me? Know you not that I must be in my Father's house," or some versions say, "about my Father's business." At 12 now. What a great thing to remember. That we can be spiritually minded and that we can raise our children to come to know God at an early age. And they're not all caught up with the things going on in this world. And there's all these reports that are out about how that this technology is affecting our young people negatively, adversely affecting them. And then our young people have this problem and then they have that problem. You can avoid all of that. And our young people here this morning can avoid all of that if we would just remember Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, I remember one time when he was 12, he was completely focused in his mind on serving God. And yes, it can be done. And not only that, but with regard to his own parents in verse 51, he was subject to them. God in the flesh is subject to earthly parents to set the example for every other 12-year-old. And then in verse 52, every aspect of his life, because he was so focused on serving God, he advanced and grew in all areas of his life, physically, mentally, spiritually, and socially. We would do well to remember that. And our young people can be just like that. We need to remember his manner of life. I'm amazed at how many people today claim to be Christians. In fact, Christianity is one of the largest, if not the largest still. There are other religions like Islam that are fast on its heels. But the largest religion in the world, how many people claim to be Christians, and that when you look at their lives individually, are they actually acting like Christ? No, in many cases. John 13:15, Jesus did things in front of others in order to set the example. And so if we claim to be a Christian, we need to actually be talking like Christ would talk. And making the choices and the decisions to act like he would act. I have given you an example that you should also do as I have done unto you. And Paul understood that. In 1 Corinthians 11:2, be imitators of me as I also am of Christ. And Peter understood that he lived in such a way that he's our example that we should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 1:22-23. And the specific thing that Peter mentions there is that how he was being persecuted when he reviled not again. I had a lesson recently. Was Jesus sinlessly perfect? And the answer is yes. And we're thankful to God that we have a completely perfect example of how to act in every situation that comes up in life. We're not going to follow the example of the world and how they act. We're going to follow how Jesus would act, both positively and negatively. Positively, there were times where he showed love and compassion and mercy and grace and forgiveness. Negatively, when he cleansed the temple and he was very opposed to sin and hypocrisy and called out those types of things. Whether it's positive or negative, we're going to follow the example of Jesus. We would do well to remember his manner of life is for our very example. And as we claim, and I know you do, as we claim to be Christians, we're actually going to be carrying that out on a daily basis. We would do well to remember his miracles. When was the last time you walked on water? You ever tried that? Walked on water? Anybody? Ever tried to raise someone from the dead? There are approximately 30 miracles of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. 30. Why? To remind us, as Nicodemus understood, and we would do well to understand, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Now underscore this in your Bible. For no one can do these signs that thou doest except God be with him. That's right. Whether it was in the Old Testament or Jesus' apostles, this has to come from God. Ordinary men and women don't just get up and start working miracles. And when we look at Jesus Christ and what he did, turn with me to John chapter 10, verses 37 and 38. All of this is to point us to who Jesus is and come to believe in him and obey him. We would do well to remember the various miracles of Jesus and the power that is displayed there, and it gives us evidence to believe. Jesus said to these Jews, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do them, and the works of the Father are miracles, if I do them, though you believe not in me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Jesus is not just some ordinary guy walking around. God is in him, and we need to be obeying him. And that's the very reason why John wrote. Out of those 30 plus miracles, turn with me to John chapter 20. John focuses on 7 of them in his gospel. There were many others, John 20, verse 30, many other signs. And that's not an exaggeration. There were many others. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The evidence to believe. The miracles of Jesus give us that. So people today, we talk about apologetics, and that's important. That's a good topic. And there are a lot of people today, especially the younger generations, that have not heard that apologetic evidence to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They need to hear that, and miracles would be a good thing to talk with them about. And the resurrection, we're going to get to that in a minute. Those types of things. We don't believe without evidence. We believe because there is evidence. And the miracles help us to remember that. We would do well to remember his mission. Why did Jesus come? And we as brethren need to remember this. It's easy for brethren in local churches of Christ to lose sight of what the real mission of Jesus is. And you fall into the social and the recreational things. You drive by a church building and you can pretty much tell where their emphasis is at just simply looking at the building itself. When the gymnasium and the family life center is bigger than the auditorium, you kind of know where their priorities are. why did Jesus come into this earth? We would do well to remember that mission so that we can be carrying that out today. And it wasn't social and political and recreational. It wasn't that. It was to seek and to save the lost. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. That's why Jesus came. I love to eat. Nobody loves to eat more than I do, but that's not the mission of the church. I'm sorry. And I love to play games and play ball and that type of thing, but that's not the mission of the church. When the angel announced Jesus' birth in Luke 2:11, a Savior is born in the city of David. Not a recreational director. When Jesus came to the home of Zacchaeus in Luke 19:10, He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. And these same passages in the book of John. A spiritual mission to save the lost. That's why here at Warfield Boulevard, we focus on that. Individually and in our families. Sherry and I went to a get-together last evening with some brethren. Had good food and all that. Individually and families and parents. We can supply those things for ourselves and others. But the Lord did not die on the cross for social and recreational things. We would do well to remember His mission. And if we've gotten off of mission statement, if we would just humble ourselves, there's nothing wrong about changing course and getting back on mission. Wouldn't we want that of our company and our corporation? If a company and a corporation got off the mission statement, wouldn't we want them to get back on? Of course we would. And we can do that as brethren if we have found ourselves off mission. Let's remember Jesus Christ. We need to remember His teaching. That's why daily Bible reading is stressed so much here at Warfield Boulevard. We claim to be Christians. Do we actually know what Jesus taught about a particular matter? I was talking with a preacher up in the Bowling Green area earlier this week, and I was just asking, well, how are things going? He said, things are going great at the congregation. He's the minister there and also one of the elders. He said, but we've got a problem. He said, there's a couple here that are on the verge of divorce, and they're at it, and so we've been studying with them and working with them. And he said, these are two Christians who've been married over 30 years, and they've been in the church, and they don't know what the Bible teaches, what Jesus taught about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Brethren, we've got to remember Jesus Christ, and that includes what He taught about all kinds of things. And that's why reading our Bible is so important. And He's not, again, just some ordinary man. When He got done with the Sermon on the Mount, they were amazed that He taught with authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees. This is something different. This is the very Word of God. This is truth. I came, Jesus said before Pilate, to bear witness of the truth. That's why reading our Bibles and our young people, we want our young people to be educated. Listen, we want them to know math and science and English and history and all that kind of stuff, and that's great. But we need to make sure that our young people know the teaching of Jesus Christ. Because when they do, then they'll know the truth. And myself included, I get forgetful. I have to go back and read the teaching of Christ. What did He say about such and such? And we can all do that. Let's not get up and claim to be Christians and then not follow His manner of life. Let's not get up and claim to be Christians and not even know what He taught about something. So read, read, read. And of course we know that the teaching of Christ is not confined to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide His apostles into all the truth. And so Acts through Revelation, those are the words of Christ as well. So we've got to be reading our New Testament. We've got to remember Jesus Christ and what He would say about this or that. And we'll have the truth on the matter. We need to remember, as we did in the Lord's Supper, the death of Jesus. People die all the time, don't they? Have you ever gone on the internet and looked up that clock that counts? It's counting the number of births, and it's just flying, and then it's counting the number of deaths that are happening every second. It's pretty impressive. Thousands of deaths every second. People die all the time. Jesus' death was different. As we sang this morning, John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." His death was different. It takes away our sin, and He shed His blood, and we can come in contact with that blood through baptism. People die all the time, but when Jesus died on the cross, that was different. And we memorialize that in the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26. Jesus Himself said, "Do this in remembrance of Me," that memorial service in Luke 22:19 through 20. Why? Because His death is different. Now, like the angels singing at His birth, turn with me to Matthew 27. Again, there are some interesting and spectacular things that happen when Jesus walks in the room. When was the last time you were with someone when they died and the sun stopped shining? When was the last time that happened? There have been times in my work as a minister where I would be called in to someone's home and hold their hand and the hand of family members when they pass away in their bed at home. I remember that with a brother, Wesley Albert, in Springfield, Tennessee. "Could you come over? Wesley's about to die." Okay. When he raised up, and then that was it. The sun didn't go out. But you know what happened when Jesus died? There was darkness over the earth. In Matthew chapter 27, there are these events that are letting people know, even if you didn't have the Word of God, which they eventually would in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but even if you didn't have the Word of God, you're standing there at the base of the cross and the lights go out. That's going to tell you something's different about this death. Matthew 27, 45. "Now from the sixth hour, 12 noon, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, 3 p.m. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?' And when some of them that stood there, when they heard it, said, 'This man calls Elijah.' And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it for him to drink. And the rest said, 'Let it be, let us see whether Elijah cometh to save him.' And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom." And by the way, it was woven crossways, so it was tearing against the grain or against the seam. It wasn't just some, it got old and it just happened to fall apart on the same time that Jesus died. This is a miracle. "And the earth did quake and the rocks were rent and the tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep were raised." You've got 3 hours of darkness. You've got the veil of the temple being rent. You've got this earthquake. And then you've got people coming out of the tombs. What is this, brethren? It's a loud noise where God is saying, this death is different. And we would do well to remember that and make sure that we have contacted that blood in baptism. We would do well to remember His resurrection, because in the resurrection, and we must move forward, that's where His power is shown. He's declared to be the Son of God with power through the resurrection. God displayed His power, Ephesians 1:19, in raising Jesus. And this is the very thing that we must confess with our mouth. Not only that Jesus is Lord, but that God raised Him from the dead, Romans 9 and 10. And we better confess that before it's too late. Because in the judgment day, which we're getting at in just a minute, we won't have an opportunity to do that. Confess it now. And we would do well to remember the resurrection because 1 Corinthians 15 verse 12, our entire spiritual existence, everything we believe, everything we preach, it all is founded upon the resurrection. And if there is no resurrection, you all might as well just go home and never come back, is what Paul is saying. It's all in vain. So, we remember the resurrection. We know the evidence thereof. And our spiritual life is based on that. We would do well to remember where He is now. A lot of times you will talk with people about Jesus Christ and they'll say, well, you know, He was a really good guy and I love Jesus. Now, are you doing what He said? No. I'm not following His word or anything, but I love Him and my parents taught me about Jesus when I was little and, I really appreciate Him. Well, are you obeying His commandments or have you obeyed His? No, I don't do any of that. We would do well to remember where Jesus is right now. Where is Jesus right now? Where is He? What happened when Jesus was resurrected? And then after the space of about 40 days, Acts chapter 1, He goes up into heaven and the angels say to the disciples there that He's gone up into heaven. And then Peter preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, 33 through 36 and said that He has ascended to the right hand of the Father. We would do well to remember that. Do you know where Jesus is right now? He's sitting as king. He's a king. And He's sitting at the right hand of God. And we need to obey Him. We would do well to remember that. That might change what I do here in just a minute with regard to the invitation song. If I kind of remember that. That might change something there. When I was young, I don't even know if I thought about where Jesus was. I mean, I've been taught all my life, you know, that He walked on the earth and things like that. Where is He now? What is He doing now? He's a king. He's a ruler. And He sits there until all of His enemies are put under His feet. His exalted kingship is what He is doing now. Ruling and reigning. And let us bring our life under His rule and reign before it's too late. Because there's two last things that we need to remember, and I'll just put them up here together. We need to remember something else about Jesus, and that is He's going to come again. He's going to come again. And the greatest day that lays ahead for us is the second coming of Jesus Christ, and it's going to show His glory. Paul says that He's going to come with angels of flaming fire. You're not going to miss it. It's audible. It's visible. Everybody's going to see it at once. It's going to be amazing. But there won't be any time to change at that point. And then He will sit as a judge over us. We would do well to remember His coming judgment. And that's why Paul in Acts chapter 17 says that all men are commanded everywhere to repent. Because there's a coming day in which God will judge the world by Jesus Christ. When you talk with people today about things, when was the last time you talked with somebody and they were talking about what's going to happen later in the week? When was the last time you talked with somebody and they said, you know, the second coming of Christ has really been on my mind lately. And I really need to make sure that my life... No. They talk about vacation that's coming up later in the week, or they got some time off, or they're going to go to the store and buy this. Is the second coming and the judgment day on people's minds? On many? No. They would do well to remember Jesus Christ. Well, the lesson is yours. I appreciate the participation in listening. Some of the most profound statements I believe in Scripture are some of the shortest. If a person would remember Jesus Christ, first of all, they would be baptized into Christ and become a Christian. Then they would live faithfully every day, carrying out His example and carrying out His mission and carrying out His teaching, and they would be ready for Jesus to come. Remember Jesus Christ. Three words. And even in that same verse, we didn't read the rest of it, Paul goes on to talk about how that Jesus was raised from the dead, and we talked about the resurrection this morning. This is a command, and it's a present active imperative. It's each and every day. Remember Jesus Christ. And maybe our reminder this morning has stirred you to make that decision to come as we stand and sing. We'll assist you in putting your life into Christ through baptism. Or if you've erred in some way, we can help you to come back. But always keep that at the forefront of your mind. Paul was about to leave this life, and here's this young preacher, and I've got some things I want to say to him. One of them is just remember Jesus Christ and how many issues that would solve in a person's life. I hope that has helped us this morning. If we can assist you in making your life right, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?